Welcome to See Here Love and part two of our Unknown Women of the Bible series. And today we learn about the unknown woman, Huldah. Are you ready? We are. Let's go.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks.
Season 11,
episode number 19.
Well, I am so thrilled that we are back together again to continue our Unknown Women of the Bible part two. Yes. So exciting. I'm so glad I'm here. We're going to take a deeper look at four extraordinary women in the Old and New Testament. We did last week. We did Anna. And these women are not well known. No. Rarely referenced. We've probably never heard of them. I haven't heard of some of them. But each one of them made a significant impact in the kingdom of God that altered history, which is incredible. And we're excited to honor them. And this is what we're doing by speaking their name and sharing their stories and learning from their courage and tenacity and leadership and grittiness and resilience and leadership. I love all of those things. But before I introduce you and get going, we do need to remind people to download this. It's our free study guide at seeherelove.com/unknownwomenstudy. So you and your Bible study group can follow along with us. And we also have now translated it into French and Spanish. So thank you to Anne, so we can reach more women around the world. But I do need to introduce all of you beautiful women, Sharon Witten, pastor, speaker, and mentor to leaders. And you'll be leading us today on Huldah. We're excited about that. Yeah. Karina Shea, lead pastor and reverend and speaker and mentor. Thanks for being here. Anne Miranda, pastor, Bible teacher, and leader of leaders. Welcome back.
Thanks.
And Helen Burns, pastor, mentor to the next generation, and international speaker. We welcome you back again.
Great to be here.
Well, let's get right into this. I'm so excited to hear and learn more about Huldah. So Sharon, the floor, the table is yours.
Let's jump right in.
All right.
Go. I hope you guys are ready because she is a powerhouse.
All right.
So we see Huldah in two passages of scripture. So she actually has a little bit of content in the scripture, but not a lot, you know. So we see her in 2 Kings 22, verse 14 to 20. Mm-hmm. And we also see her in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 22 to 28. So I'll read that passage of scripture for us. Well, and I'll give you a little bit of context in about a minute as to where, you know, we drop in the story, because the historical context actually means a lot and it emphasizes her importance in this story. So we have Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, the son of Hashra, keeper of the wardrobes. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, aroused my anger by all their hands have made. My anger will pour out on this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord God of Israel says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place and on those who live here." So they took her answer back to the king. So just a couple things about Huldah in general that the scripture references is that she was a prophetess. She was one of only three women called prophetess in the Old Testament.
Wow.
She was named a prophet. She was married to Shallum, who was the keeper of the wardrobe. Likely, he was connected to the temple, the royal garments. She lived in Jerusalem in a new, the Bible says the second quarter. It was an area, like a newer area. It had a significant kind of administrative, it was like an administrative district, newer part of town. She was active during the reign of King Josiah. So that was 640 to 609 BC. And there's no record of her calling. There's no real origin story. She wasn't, you know, the Bible doesn't really mention that she was part of a school of prophets, nothing like that. But she had a reputation and a recognition that was among key players. Like, she was really, she carried weight among key players. So when we look at the backdrop, we understand this. If we want to understand the importance of the story, we have to understand the history. So we can scroll back to King Josiah's father and his grandfather. His grandfather, King Manasseh, was a ruler. He ruled 55 years. His rulership actually put Judah into some of the darkest seasons of time. He practiced divination, witchcraft, all kinds of crazy stuff. Down to the end of his rule, he had a moment of repentance, kind of turned, humbled his heart a little bit. But there's still some things there that were not so good in the sight of God. And then came his son, Amon, who was the father of King Josiah, and he continued the stuff that wasn't good for Judah. He continued worshiping. You know, they had syncretism. They put away Yahweh, but they were adding to, you know, there was a lot of different idolatry in that. And King Amon was killed by his own servants. So here comes the boy King Josiah at age 8. He's crowned king. Age 16, he starts to have a heart for God and starts to pursue God. You know, coming into his 20s, he has a desire to rebuild the temple and to do renovations. And here we drop into the storyline where renovations are happening. They find the book of the law that was put aside, that was just kind of sitting in, you know, let's say in a back room corner collecting dust. Mm-hmm. They bring the book of the law Hilkiah finds it, brings it to Josiah. Josiah's like, what's this book that's been out there? Like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? And I just want to say this, just a little special note here. 3 centuries before this time, there was an unknown prophet who prophesied by name that Josiah would bring reformation. Yeah. So we understand that history, the prophetic words are landing on this particular moment. So they find this book. We understand, Josiah understands that Israel has strayed away from the requirements of God. He tears his robes. He's looking for someone to bring interpretation to the now angst that he's feeling in his heart as he's looking at the sin that's all around him. And he's like, what should we do? So he sends leaders to inquire of the Lord. And this is where Huldah speaks. She gives proper interpretation to the scriptures. She doesn't offer theatrics. There's no ambiguity. She speaks clarity about the coming judgment. She says there's a moment of mercy there towards King Josiah that, hey, you're going to go to your grave in peace. But she speaks boldly that this is what the law, this is the interpretation of what's coming to you. So I just want you to note, her words are sober, they're specific, they're true, her interpretation is sound. And really, Huldah shows up in a moment that demands clarity. And interestingly enough, the community knows where to find her. Mm-hmm. So she is positioned at a pivotal moment in national renewal. She brings, you know, that message to Josiah. He then reads it to the people. He fires the priests, cleanses the temples. He demolishes the altars, all because Huldah spoke truth to power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Couple of interesting things about her. Once again, we know that she had courage to speak the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Her word was a catalyst for national reform.
Wow.
She didn't have the same platform as her contemporaries like Jeremiah, who we know in the Bible has a whole book written about him. She was faithful, and God used her in this key moment. Yeah. She walked in discernment. She knew the law, and she knew how to interpret the signs of the times. She lived in a patriarchal society. As a woman, she spoke with weight to male politicians and religious leaders. Love her. Couple of takeaways from it. Let me just say this as we go to have some discussion. Number one, faithfulness matters.
Yeah. Yes.
She walked in faithfulness and it prepared her for the moment. Another thing that I saw in this passage was that God often speaks through voices that are faithful, not always famous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes famous, yes, we have those famous voices, but those that are faithful.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
Another thing, she spoke up. She spoke truth to culture when it wasn't popular.
Oof.
Yes.
And then lastly, women are a catalytic key for change, right? God, like, intercepted this woman in the middle of this storyline, you know, 300 years of prophecy landing, and she was the key in the ignition that turned national renewal and reformation. Wow. So my question to you ladies is, like, what stands out to you about Huldah's life? I mean, there's a lot there, right?
Wow. Thank you for that.
That's good. So background and historical context. Sharon, it's good.
What a great teacher you are. I'm so excited to have just was sitting under your teaching. That was wonderful.
It's great.
One of the takeaways that I have is that like, she spoke truth to power when you said that sentence. I was like, oh, mic drop right there. Because it feels or seems sometimes that we're living in a fear-filled society, and speaking truth takes so much courage. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of my biggest takeaways through all of this, is that speaking to culture when it wasn't so popular, you know, I think that's a very powerful. I don't know. What about you, Karina?
Yeah, I mean, the courage to do that. Mm-hmm. In a moment when everyone around you has a louder voice and has a place and you don't, but to be obedient and faithful to God, to speak the words that he's given you to speak, I think that that's a lesson for all of us women.
Right.
To not be afraid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love how you said her community knew where to find her. I think this is so beautiful because I do think people are in dark times looking for voices that have something to say, and they know, let's go. This woman's a prophet. She has something to say. I am very moved and in just how you unpack this for us. Mm-hmm. It feels so familiar to today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so often we look at, there's just been this vacancy of the word or of power or of strength of you know, just what God is doing. And so often we see what isn't happening. And I think we can get overwhelmed here in Canada as well as what's going to happen. And you think, God's always working.
Yes.
There are always people, and I feel challenged by her life, that I want to be a voice for such a time as this, that I am not afraid to speak truth to culture or truth to power, that it's not about me, but what I'm carrying and the message I carry is really important because it's God's message right now, right here. Mm-hmm. And this really applies to current culture.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, because Jeremiah was on the scene at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know different scholars would look and say, well, why wasn't it he picked to speak truth to power? Why was it her? And I'm reminded of the courage she must have had, because Jeremiah was mistreated. I mean, if you look at his life, he had a rough life, right? So she had to stand in the middle of it, and her triggering that, or her bringing that word forth, triggered such reform. Mm-hmm. And it kind of all catalyzed this moment that King Josiah had been prophesied over him he would step into. Yeah.
And on that, it was like how you mentioned that God doesn't just use voices that are famous, but that are faithful. Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, especially in this culture and young generation, it's like the one that's the greater influencer, the one that has the most followers on TikTok or on Instagram. They're the ones that have the voice and they can speak. But this is just encouraging for those that are like, you know, I don't have a platform. Mm-hmm. I'm not a great speaker. What do I have to say? Mm-hmm. But there's such, you know, the connection of, you know, you're going to be faithful, you're going to be courageous, you're going to say yes when asked to do this. Because I think that's the other part, Sharon, was I was like, that's scary.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Huldah, can you please like bring interpretation in this and stand up and share about this? It's like, be terrified, but in obedience. Mm-hmm. And when God is like, go, you do. So I think that's really powerful. And I think, yes, speaking truth into culture. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think also doing it in her own voice.
Yes.
You know, you noted that she did it with sober judgment, with clarity, without fanfare. Yep. She used her own voice. And I think so often in our culture today, there's a temptation to mimic the voices that we hear. Mm-hmm. But God gave her a voice.
Absolutely.
And he empowered her to use it. And she was faithful to do so. And to me, that's incredible, that she would be bold enough and courageous enough, but humble enough to do exactly what God asked her to do, but not do it in such a way that it's to make herself famous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But to remain faithful.
Yeah. I'm going back to that thought about they knew where to find her and the fact that she had something to say. I'm thinking about a young leader in this season, how much they need seasoned voices that
that come alongside that I think often we can distance ourselves, but rather step into the moment because we actually have something to say as women. And you say this was in a very patriarchal society, but it didn't diminish her voice.
Yeah.
To speak into that, like you said, takes a lot of courage. But how much the young generation in this world today need voices that are proven, that are trusted, mm-hmm. that are sound, that are seasoned, that are not afraid to come alongside.
And the importance of knowing the word, like knowing what is God's righteous standard, right?
Yeah.
To be able to speak to culture. I mean, I only think about what she saw going on and probably how that offended the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she saw, or King Josiah, maybe there was some level of relationship there where King Josiah had a similar heart. They knew, like, he was like, maybe this is the prophet that you need to go to. I don't know. The scripture doesn't really talk about that. But I don't know. It's just interesting how Josiah had a heart for God. Mm-hmm. She probably did. And she delivered the word. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thoughtful about what God is requiring of us. Because you made a good point. Similarly, we are in a culture that requires truth to be brought.
Yeah.
And all things do come together. The prophecies of old
are
the new word for today. And I think sometimes we're afraid when we hear something that is countercultural and we agree with it in our spirit, but then we're afraid. Is this going to be received? And then we muzzle ourselves. But if God asks you to speak, you kind of have to speak.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I think that's the part that I'm learning through this passage is so they knew, the king appointed someone. When I read scripture, I read it like as if it's a movie script. And I'm just like seeing the whole scene pan out. And so the king sends some people, they go and they are talking to Hulda. But she knew herself, like her role.
Mm-hmm.
She knew who she was.
Mm-hmm.
In God's kingdom. And she knew she was a prophetess. She knew she had a word of God inside of her. Like she knew her giftings and then she released them.
Yeah.
And I think I'm asking myself, do I know, and this could be a question as we're studying this together, do we know our giftings and then are we releasing? Are we actually activating and living out in our giftings? Because maybe there are people that will be listening to this and going, I have a prophetic gift and I don't know how to exercise that. Or I'm curious about prophecy and what does that mean today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I actually try to activate that gift in me? Because it feels like this kind of prophetic gifting, we're celebrating her, but today in our current culture, that feels a little taboo and people are trying to stay away from it. It's very active though.
Very.
To change, like you said, bring on change within culture, change within somebody's life, calling out, hey, you know, Josiah humbled himself. Mm-hmm. Josiah tore clothes and walked before the Lord. Like she's calling out that beauty that was happening in her current moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, how this looks like today.
Well, and that's a perfect segue to the question in how does Will Hold inspire us to live?
Mm-hmm.
All the things that Sharon has shared and what we've shared, taking it personally, what would that look for you to live in the way that Hulda did?
I love the word you used, and it really strikes me, a catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to speak up. Somebody has to be a lightning rod. Somebody has to be the one that goes, well, let's go. Because I think we're so often deferring to others. God, not me. Let somebody else, you know, like a Moses moment. Like, God, I can't speak well. And how often we diminish our voice. But it's not about us. It's not about what we say and how eloquent we say it. We are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are living in dark times. We are living in perilous times. How desperately we need to hear people that are willing to be a catalyst for change. And if nobody says anything, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And somebody speaks up and we're so afraid sometimes. What if I say it wrong and I don't say it perfect? Just do it in obedience to God and trust God that He's going to carry the message. Mm-hmm. But I feel like all of us, and I feel very challenged by this, that will I speak up when there's so many voices looking at you with judgment and how dare you and this isn't kosher, you don't get to do it this way. But there has to be something in you that knows that you're called and appointed for such a time as this. Like an Esther, there had to be somebody that spoke up like a Hulda.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap. Let's go out and be catalysts. Thanks, Hulda. That was it. Preach. That was amazing.
Amazing.
And I do think, too, you actually answered the question when you read the scriptures, and I don't know if it was intentional, but you actually put emphasis whenever you read the words because you humbled yourself. So how we speak God's word. He gives us the words, but because you humbled yourself and you emphasize that in your reading of the scripture. And I love that because that's how we do it. Yeah. That's the only way to do it is when we humble ourselves before God. Good. You can't hear the voice of God when you're too busy talking or listening to other voices. And so I think, you know, that's what I want to be. That's how I want to live. I want the Lord to say, because you humbled yourself, I can trust you with this. Because you humbled yourself, I will give you this word.
That's good. It's interesting too, just listening to you say that, the humility, and back to the faithfulness, like I think there's a scripture that talks about many can boast about their ways, but who can find a faithful man or who can find a faithful woman in our context? And I think that you just never know when that opportunity shows up where God says, hey, need you now. You know, and you're just faithfully doing what you need to do. And she was that person that, hey, we needed her this moment in time, the prophecy 3 centuries ago, that, you know, this would be triggered. And I think it's just such a powerful reminder to be humble and to be faithful. Faithful with the little, rule over much.
And all things come together.
All
things come together. And not in the way you expect, but God has a plan. And, you know, it's his story, it's history, it's, and we're part of that story. And I think that to me is such an encouragement that God has a plan and he invites us to be a part of it. He allows us, he doesn't need us, but he allows us to be a part of it and look at what can be done.
I can't help but think about God has a plan. And I think of how we, you know, we plan a wedding, and when we are going to our wedding, we're ready to make a vow. We know we're going to say, I do. But I wonder how many times we could say, I do, before we're, you know, called upon. We've already said yes. Like this sense of, she had already said yes. Or we talked about Anna last week. She had already said yes and was positioned to step into that moment. And how much we need to just say, here I am, Lord, use me. And not diminish our, you know, step back and go, can't be me, can't be me. But to just say, I already say yes. So God, if you need me, I'm on assignment.
I already say yes. I like that.
Yes. Well, behind her yes was such a ripple effect, right? Of being a catalyst, because the rest of the chapter, right? We're just looking at this one context. The rest of the chapter and continue with throughout Chronicles is that Josiah then restores worship. Josiah now puts those spiritual practices again in place the Passover. Now there's the temple that's restored. Now there's a whole nation knows about God. It was her yes. Right. It was her yes. And then that ripple effect. And it's his yes, too. Yeah. But it was her yes. It's all, we're all kind of part of this bigger God story that he's writing. And so your yes impacts me. It impacts the people that we're leading. It impacts the people that are in our families and our friendships and all of that. It's just so powerful.
What a powerful U-turn, right? Like, literally, they're going this way. What a powerful, like, trajectory, an altering of a pathway for people.
And I think we have to be reminded too, imagine the moments that we missed to speak when, if we had the ripple effect of change, but because of fear, because we didn't want to have people look at us and go, what is this? What is this? Or we're afraid to be canceled, or we're afraid for all of these things. Imagine if you look back at your life, and not to like regret it, but looking forward, if we had said yes, if we said, I want to be a catalyst, I you know, I want to be a part of like humbling myself and being used by God that way, the ripple effect and change that could happen for us and for the next generation and next generations to come. Like that's profound. And it also gives me like a pause to be like, wow.
There really is no such thing as my faith not affecting your faith and your faith not affecting. Everything happens collectively. God is doing something, and we're all required to be responsible for our part. You know, and we have to be faithful to that, because if we're not, we disrupt the ripple.
That's good.
Maybe it'd be women that see this nation and stop looking at what isn't and be part of that prophetic voice that says what is, because God's kingdom is here. It is.
It is.
So we have, I want to be a catalyst. I want to humble myself. I want to be faithful. I want to say yes to God. I think the question even before this was your gifting. You know, I think you gave us that question. Yeah. You were like, what is our gifting? Maybe that's something we need to explore as we do this study. You know, what is God calling me to be, like a prophet or you know, the truth teller or speaking, you know, truth to culture and power and all of these things. Like, I think it's good. We always say this on the show is, you know, there are choices for us women to make.
Yeah.
We can't just like sit back and just think life is going to happen, but there are choices and courageous choices, things we have to do. And if we're like, we're following Jesus, there are things that he's going to require of us, ask of us to do. And are we ready? Mm-hmm. You know, and we can't do it alone. That's why I think it's really important that we do this kind of study together to encourage each other to say, you're not going to be a catalyst alone and you're not going to do this ripple effect alone. We'll be here with you, mm-hmm. you know, holding up your arms and that. So thank you for your thoughts. I think too, prayer is always a great thing. And I think we need to commit to one another, you know, for prayer and praying for each other. But I know, Karina, there's a prayer in the Bible study book under Huldah. That's a beautiful prayer to kind of like wrap up what we've been talking about.
Yeah, let's pray together. Holy God, you who speak truth through willing hearts, grant us the courage and clarity you gave your servant Huldah. As she listened for your voice and spoke with faithfulness, give us ears to hear your wisdom and hearts bold enough to respond. When confusion appears, bring discernment. When fear rises, give us confidence in your truth. Shape our words by your Spirit, firm, compassionate, and rooted in justice. Guide us to walk in obedience to honor your word and to lead others toward renewal. Make us faithful vessels of your truth, humble in service and steadfast in devotion. May your wisdom rest on us and your presence go before us each day. Amen.
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 Wonderful. Isn't it?
So the
Bible study sharing and conversation is so powerful. And I love that we can model this and do this for many, many women to show how powerful when we discuss, you know, the Bible and scripture and different perspectives, what that can do. Tremendous job. Thank you. It's really wonderful. I love the historical context. I think that's important too, reading the scripture, but then kind of studying it. And again, that's an encouragement to the people that are listening and watching this, is that go into some context and historical context and later chapters to see the ripple effects of what can happen. Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for your prayer, Karina and Anne and Helen, thank you. This was wonderful. I love these. I just want to keep doing this over and over and over. This rich conversation as we journaled and pray through and share with others and connect with God. I love this. I love that we can do this together. I also want to remind everyone not to forget to download our free Bible study guide. It's seehearlove.com, Unknown Women Bible Study, right here. So easy. It's got prayers. It's got context, connect. It has so much information. And we have it in Spanish and French as well. And we have to say a big thank you also to the Canadian Bible Society for sponsoring the series. We so appreciate you. We couldn't do this series without you. And we'd love for you to join our See Hear Love community. You can find everything there at seehearlove.com. You can watch our episodes. You can download lots of our studies. We have different Bible studies on Philippians, Unknown Women, Jesus Encounters, a whole bunch. You can watch our YouTube channel, listen to our podcast on Spotify, and you can find out more about all of you. Your bios are on the website. There's so much information about you guys and so many things that we can know. And also, if you want to say hello and talk to us and ask more questions, please go to seeherlove.com. There's lots of ways that you can reach out to us, attend to our events, and maybe even meet them along the way. And as we have remembered and seen and heard the story of Huldah, to be a catalyst, to be humble, to be faithful, to know that your yes could send a ripple effect to change the world. Thank you, Huldah. You are also seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. So thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time for episode 3 and study number 3 of The Unknown Woman, Abijah. Please join us then. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.